Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands.
Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast, and I'm delighted to have Hamlet Azarian with us today. He's the Senior Growth Advisor at the Retail Merchant Group. Welcome, Hamlet. Can you please introduce yourself?
Thanks, Eliza. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I'm Hamlet. I've been working at Retail Merchant Group, which is a marketing agency we started around 11 years ago. We focus on working with venture-backed startups in the super early stage. This is pre-seed, seed, and Series A, where we'll come in as senior growth advisors and we'll help them build out their go-to marketing strategy. So we come in, we strategize on how they go to market, help set them up with all the different marketing tools and technology, and start setting up the frameworks for testing, as well as hiring a team and executing.
Wow, am I looking forward for this interview, Hamlet? Because you know, we're always talking to these, let's say, bigger company marketers that have already had those Series A, and you know, are typically even already past a scale up phase. So we're going to talk startups today and scale ups, which is nice. So I'm looking forward to this. When you're talking, let's say, startups and Series A, for the listeners that are non-US based, this could sound like unfamiliar. Could you explain what you mean by that, the pre-seed, etc.? Because you just threw out a bunch of, phrases there that might not be understandable to everyone that's listening.
No, of course, Eliza. So I'll kind of try to break it down in a very simple format. Mm-hmm. I normally start when it might be just a founder. So it might be a founder, a co-founder, super early. So they have an idea. They don't know if the idea is a valid idea. They need to go and kind of validate this component of it. So they'll hire our firm, or we'll kind of be working with an accelerator or a studio, which is the early stages of it. And we'll come in and we'll help them prove out their concept, their business model. And in fact, have they figured out a new problem or a pain point that no one is addressing? And we'll build different marketing strategies that are not only conscious, but also very effective in proving this out. So those are the super, super early. That's typically called pre-seed. They haven't raised any money. They have no funding. You know, they might not have built a product yet. And then as we go on, we get into seed, which typically is we went through that phase. We proved some elements of it out. And now we've raised some elements of money. So the money might be, as little as $300,000 to $500,000 on a valuation of, a couple million, to as much as, $800,000 or so. So there's some money that's come in. Now what we're doing at this phase is we're helping continue what we learned in the early stages, but trying to figure out what is a scalable growth strategy. You know, can we do something via paid media? Is there something we can do on Facebook marketing, Google marketing? Is there anything we can do through partnerships? Is there anything we can do through SEO? What we're searching for in this particular stage is product to market fit. So as we continue going through this process, as we iterate through all the different experimentation, we hope to find that. Once we have found that, then we go raise additional capital, which puts us now into the Series A. And Series A is multi-million dollar raises. So this could be as little as 8 million to as much as 13 to 15 million. And at this point, we're now at the scaling phase. So how do we take, what we figured out in the earlier phase of the process, which was getting to a product to market fit, and how do we grow it? How do we grow the organization? How do we get it into the million, plus range in monthly revenue, and so on and so forth. So that's what we focus on. We've been lucky in our process, or fortunate, that we've had several clients that have gone from the pre-seed stage to the Series A stage in the course of the last several years.
Wow. So, and that's interesting what you're telling there, because I own a marketing agency and I'm familiar with the marketing agency strategies. And usually, you know, they tend not to focus on those startups because it's very budget tight, because it's very fragile. It's small, etc. But and they don't. Marketing agencies tend not to, let's say, help you grow your business from zero, but they rather start helping you, let's say, growing the business when there is already something there, like a scale up that has a budget for marketing, etc. So can you mention some typical, let's say, challenges that you encounter when you're helping startups growing in their marketing efforts?
Of course. I mean, you've kind of hit the nail on the head, right? So, well, some of it is capital. So they're in the early stages, there really is no capital. We can't like turn on a $5,000, $10,000 marketing spend and prove things out. So what we have to do is get much more clever. So how do we get a similar type of proof of concept per se with very, very, very minimum spend? So the resource strain on actual marketing budget forces us to think, all right, if we want to prove out, for example, if we want to prove out that, hey, you know, I'm going to be targeting X, that's just not enough for us. What we do is we sit them down and we say, okay, let's really break down this persona for you. Who are you really trying to target? And what is the proof of concept you want to go after? We fine tune this persona to the point where we can all visualize it to the level of, hey, can we go on LinkedIn and search and find, you know, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 of these people? And once we have identified that exact persona archetype, we get much more clever. So we'll use tools where we'll be able to kind of pull in the exact people we want to speak to and start running very specific targeted ads to them. So, or even do outreach to that group so we can prove out and validate the business model itself. We're very direct, we're very candid in our outreach programs where we'll tell them, hey, we're in super early startup, we're in a pre-seed, seed, series A, wherever we are in that phase, right? We have a beta product or we have a business model, we would love to talk to you about it and get your feedback. What we've noticed is this direct, candid, you know, approach actually works. People are willing to get on a call. People are willing to get on a demo and kind of give us their honest and candid feedback. And that's all we ask for. In the early phases, you know, the truth is more important than anything else. It's not the revenue that's going to shape or change the organization. It's really understanding what the product and the pain point that we're trying to solve. And the candid answers we get from those early alpha users, per se, is what really transforms these organizations.
Wow. So this is the MarTech podcast, after all. So I have to ask this question. When you're talking about pinpointing the right prospect or customer, and you're telling us or our listeners that you're using the right tools to get that accomplished, what kind of tools are you using? Could you name some?
Yeah, of course. So we use, so there's a tool called Get Prospect, which we'll use predominantly for LinkedIn. So what Get Prospect does is it allows us to go through different LinkedIn profiles and discover and find what their full LinkedIn, you know, the whole LinkedIn URL as you provide it, it'll provide you what their business email address is. So you'll be able to get the business email address so you can begin outreach. There's other tools like Hunter.io, which allows you to kind of go and find email addresses for any, and again, business, right? So these are publicly available email addresses. Mm-hmm. It allows you and speeds up how to go and find email addresses for any domain or any website or any blogger and so on and so forth. And then the third is our own tool. So we've kind of built our own tool in-house that we've turned into a SaaS called Link Signal. And what this does is it not only allows you to find contact information, but it allows you to find contact information of any Google search result. So if you know how to use Google, you can kind of go in and put that search results and see the top 10 searches or the top 20 or the top 30 of those domains and pull the contact information out of that. Or more importantly, if you were kind of going to be doing SEO or search engine optimization and you wanted to know what the backlink contact information are of the top search results, our tool would allow you to do that and also find those information as well and the best quality. And you know, here are your targets you should be reaching out to and so on and so forth.
Okay, so you're delivering those leads to the startups. What's their next step there? Because if you're using GetProspect or Hunter or your own tool, LinkSignal, you're delivering those leads to them. Do you do any lead nurturing programs, drip campaigns, or do you have prospecting techniques that you help customers in, let's say, approaching those prospects?
Yep. So we have a couple of programs, right? So we have sort of, in the world of marketing, there's two ways of going about it. You're either a hunter, so you are aggressively going out to your lead and you're trying to bring them in, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're more of a fisherman, where you're kind of putting the bait out and you're hoping they'll jump and they'll kind of come to you. So I'm going to first talk about the hunter ways we do it. So in the hunter techniques, what we'll do is we'll develop sort of different drip series or automated series from either LinkedIn outreach, so where we'll be kind of going out and connecting and trying to start a conversation, or even an email outreach program where we're kind of sending an email out, highlighting some of the pain points, trying to build a relationship. We're not necessarily trying to spam them in a sense. We're really trying to be much more educational and informative in nature. We might give them an article. We might give them a lead magnet. We might give them a tool or something we've done research on in their industry that will help them be educated about something that they might not have been aware of. So it's really about content and the right type of content that we feel will engage them to a point where they want to discuss or chat with us. So that's the hunter techniques, right? Mm-hmm. The phishing techniques is similar to any other marketing strategy. The only difference is now that we have the contact information, we can use LinkedIn better. We can use Facebook better. We can use Twitter better and more effectively because now we can basically put the information into those platforms and retarget exactly those customers. Or better yet, we can build lookalikes or similar likes, and you know every platform has their own connotation of it, based off of those metrics that we've downloaded that we know it's our exact ideal customer profile. And again, have a lead magnet there where they'll download it and then begin the normal kind of drip series for us.
Okay, so you're really helping them with their growth as a startup. You know, those startups, you know, don't have big budgets to spend on huge marketing campaigns, but it's a digestible way of growing your startup using you. You already briefly touched the subject, but you know, you're talking about SEO and links and keywords, etc. In my opinion, SEO delivers valuable leads, right? So you can do paid campaigns, etc., which also will probably give you valuable leads. But in my experience, the leads that come in through organic listings tend to be very targeted, very hot. You know, if you rank for the right keywords, you'll etc., you'll get way better leads than just through advertising. Is that something you share, or is that just my opinion here?
No, that's exactly what we try to develop the content around, right? So in SEO, it's all about the search intent and where they are in the buyer and the user journey. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be content that's really about, you know, awareness. So all you're trying to do here is educate, inform, and make sure that they recognize you as a thought leader. And then you can go as deep on, you know, to consideration where they're now considering buying you. And then there's also purchase intent where now they're ready to buy. So all these different levels of the journey is where you kind of start building your content out. Obviously, the much more aggressive in any industry, whatever it might be. So if it's bottom of the funnel and they're ready to buy, those tend to be sort of the more competitive keywords to rank for. Mm-hmm. But yes, once you are ranking for those, the conversion rates are much higher. So it's all about, I guess, the user journey, right? Where are they in this decision-making process? What type of content you're necessarily producing for it? And is that content optimized technically? So does it have the right, you know, is it fast? Does it have the schema and all of those elements? And then on top of that, is it authoritative? So are all the right influencers or sites or domains linking back to this content? So Google can see it as a ranking signal and may make sure they're featuring it as, you know, if not number one, number two, or number three of the search results. Candidly, anything below that is it's just such less volume. It almost is like you're on the journey to becoming the top three. If you're not in the top three, you're way behind. So it's what can I do to make sure that I'm on top three on my keywords that matter to me? Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about that, like keywords and a strategy, you're really talking SEO strategy. And in my opinion, SEO is undervalued by a lot of startups, by a lot of other companies as well. But I think especially startups that think they need to grow fast. They need to invest in paid advertising. Is there a way you can see fast results from SEO?
So SEO, it does take time. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that SEO is one of the quick results. And when I say it takes time is I'll give you an example. So we've been able to take startups that had maybe, you know, 500 to 1,000 searches a month. So super early, right? So what's 500,000 visitors a month? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 500,000 visitors a month. That's, you know, 10, 20 visitors a day on organic. We've been able to take startups of that size with no, you know, real major content production, no major ranking, and generate and grow them within 12 months to over 150,000 visitors. So it is there, right? But it is one of those where you have to say, okay, if I want to become substantial, I have to invest in it for at least, you know, 6 months to a year. And that's when you start seeing the results. So it's more of a long-term bet. And we don't necessarily recommend doing SEO and saying, these are the keywords I want to go right after right away. What we do is we kind of do a hybrid. Once we've identified the pain point, once we understand that, hey, this is kind of the keywords my audience cares about, and this is what's important, and how do we do this identification? We'll run paid ads, and we'll run paid ads on those particular keywords. So this is the growth hack of SEO, right? So we'll mm-hmm. understand right away, if I was ranking for this, if I was winning these keywords and I was driving traffic to an appropriate landing page, what is the value of these leads to me? So once we have identified that and we say, okay, these keywords make sense, these are what I'm willing to bet on, then we begin the process of building, you know, the SEO strategy to make sure that we can rank for those keywords. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know, I'm going to ask you this. You know, I don't know if you want to share this because this might be your secret sauce as well. But you know, what our listeners probably want to hear is, how do you do that? How do you get a website from, let's say, 500 visitors a month to 150,000 visitors a month? What kind of stuff do you do to actually achieve that?
No, of course. So what we do is, so we look at SEO as three pillars. So pillar one is sort of on-site SEO. So this is, what are you writing about? What is the content? You know, does the content fit the search intent? Meaning what I described earlier, where they are in the user journey. And is it authoritative? You know, is it authoritative? You know, are you an expert in it? Are you providing original thought? Are you a new thought leader? Is there data associated to what you're writing about? Either internal data that you have done or design, you know, or research, right? What we talked earlier, reaching out to your target customer profiles and interviewing them and talking to them or surveying them or whatever it might be. Have you done this component of it? And are you providing something new to the world that no one else has necessarily talked about? So that's the first part of it. And that's what we teach, right? We teach how to write this type of authoritative content. The next is technical. So what technical is about is, you know, how fast is the site? Which I'm going to start with speed has become even more and more important. And not just for desktop, right? But more mobile. And mobile, not just on Wi-Fi, but mobile on even 3G. So are you loading really fast? Are your images optimized? Is this something that, you know, anyone has easy accessibility to? And is it mobile, super mobile friendly? That's where we start with. We don't necessarily care about desktop, because if you get mobile right, you're going to be able to get desktop right. So we focus heavily on mobile. On top of the technical sides of it, we're looking at things like, hey, are you using AMP, which is accelerated mobile pages? Are you using schema and kind of, you know, making it easy for Google to understand what your page is all about? Are you going through all of the fundamentals and making sure Google can easily crawl your site? So you might do the first one really, really well. You might do the second one really, really well. So you've done one and two. The third thing we finally look at is your offsite. And your offsite is basically your backlink profile and who's linking to you and so on and so forth. You could do one and two really well, but if you don't do three, guess what happens? You're typically not in those top three search results. You might be in number four, and you might be in number five. You might be on page two. So particularly for startups, this tends to be the biggest problem is, you know, they don't have history, right? They're not a recognizable brand name. There's no, you know, news coverage on them. So now we start working on the third problem, which is your backlink profile. So this we started looking for and finding who are the industry thought leaders and do they know you? Do they know what you're writing about and what you're talking about? How can you start building meaningful relationships with them? So it's not just about the backlink, it's more about the relationship. So we focus in on this and we use our tool to identify all of these people and we begin, you know, an outreach process to start connecting with them and getting to know them better. Because our overarching goal is if you can find 100 to 200 people that are industry thought leaders, really, that's just enough. That's more than enough to start, you know, having transformational growth for your organization and take you from nothing in the early onsets that you're not ranking to someone that's kind of meaningful and kind of begins the flywheel of growth for you.
Wow. So that's really helpful there for a lot of business owners, I guess. So you already shared a growth hack here. What other growth hacks do you have for startups?
Oh, yeah. So there's numerous, right? So we talked about the LinkedIn growth hack and kind of reaching out and building elements of it. Another element of what we do is we kind of will run sort of Facebook hacks. So what are Facebook hacks? So on the Facebook hack side of things is Facebook has a lot of great APIs that not necessarily a lot of people use. And what we've learned, at least particularly with Facebook, is the more data you provide it, the better it is in targeting. So as you continue kind of feeding the data cycle, particularly on the server side, right? Everyone is like, hey, let's do pixel is great on Facebook and so on. Mm-hmm. But when you focus on the APIs that Facebook has and you start giving it a more, you know, deeper funnel events, and what's deeper funnel events? So Facebook has this server to server or conversions API where particularly for everything we do in marketing automation and technology, so I'm sure you can relate to this, Elias, mm-hmm. right? It's great to get the lead, but that's not necessarily what you need, right? So you need the close, but there are stages from the lead to the close that you need to kind of provide for Facebook, these different milestones per se. And if you're able to kind of lay these out for them and say, hey, this is my first milestone, and this is my second milestone, and this is my third milestone, and this is my fourth and my fifth, Facebook over time, particularly with the offline conversion API, gets so smart in its targeting efforts. We've been able to lower cost per leads for clients, you know, in a very competitive space from over $180 per lead, which is what they were spending for a lead at one point, to as low as $8 by being able to implement these type of APIs.
Wow.
So drastic, right? That incredible. Just that alone is what kind of fueled their, you know, Series A raise from C to Series A, just to be able to prove that out.
Cool. That's a great advice you're giving there. So I would like to end this interview by asking you a couple of questions, or basically my main question there would be, how do you measure for success? Because I can imagine that once you are a startup and you're looking to get like a Series A funding, and everything needs to be measurable, right? So you need to show success. How do you measure for success, and what kind of tools are you using there?
No, of course. So any experiment or anything we run, we obviously have a hypothesis. So we'll build out a hypothesis and we'll say, okay, what are the KPIs that, you know, key performance indicators that we are trying to influence? Because marketing really is about influence, right? So what are the things we're really trying to influence, and what are the things we're really trying to shape that leads the user down to the conversion path? And how are we going to make sure that, you know, we're monitoring and measuring this perfectly? So we all have this funnel, right? And this funnel, you know, typically starts larger and gets smaller all the way down to close. So that's the first and foremost thing we'll build for any, you know, client we take on, or, mm-hmm. you know, a startup we're helping, is this funnel. And then we look through that and we say, okay, where in this funnel do we have leakage? Where does the conversion not to seem to be working properly? And how do we go about to make sure we can stop the leakage? We'll use different tools. You know, the one that we prefer to use a lot is Clipfolio. It just makes it really easy to build dashboards. And we'll start measuring all of our activities from all the different things we're doing, systematically, of course, and see, hey, are we improving it? You know, there's no magic bullet, right? There's no one marketing campaign or program that all of a sudden you're like, wow, we did it. We figured it out. Marketing is a dynamic world that's always changing. You might have a great campaign that works one day, but you're going to ride that campaign, right? You're going to ride it as much as you can. And eventually that campaign reaches fatigue and you have to start a new one, or think mm-hmm. through it and take the lessons learned and so on and so forth. But these dashboards that we build, you know, through Clipfolio and other tools, we're able to quickly realize that, hey, when is that time? When is the time for us to transition and start out a new campaign?
Cool. So yeah, we're big Clipfolio fans as well at Marketing Guys. You know, full disclosure there, we're a Clipfolio partner, but you know, we've been working with the software for years, and you know, it makes it so easy to get insights in that data. And it always surprises me that marketers don't have those insights. But, you know, folks go check it out on clipfolio.com, or you know, to how easy it is, because, you know, you really should have insights in that marketing ROI, not only as a startup, but also when you're, let's say, an established brand. Hamlet, thank you very much for your time to share all these insights in this interview. It's been very learnful. Hopefully we will have you back in a couple of months or after a couple of episodes to hear how you're doing. But you know, I've learned a lot. Hopefully the listeners have learned as well, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I did. Thank you, Elias, and thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.